told you we were going to go here. I wasn't done with jealousy. And to be honest, there are so many scriptures that I had to cut off today. If you get a chance, go back to the scriptures that talk about the strong man and the house that's divided. It completely connects into what we're going to talk about today. Who knew that such an emotion like jealousy played such a major role in the kingdom and was used so much by Yahweh? So I wanted to start with just a review because really I want to put all these pieces together today, okay? So in regard to that review, some previous lessons for us to focus on. First of all, Yahweh is a jealous Elohim, and He wants to be our only Elohim, period. He's not about us mixing Him with someone else or His ways and the world's ways. He's in completely. He's giving everything He has completely for you. He wants the same back. Satan was the one that taught us to be like Him, and the Him actually is more like Him in the garden, to aspire to be like Elohim, knowing good and evil. And this point was to actually rise up and become our own Elohim. Knowing good and evil, going, I can say, well, this is good and this is bad. How many times have we heard today about specifically faith? Well, faith and beliefs haven't changed over the years. They haven't progressed. Didn't they realize we're in the 21st century? They expect the truth evolves. No, truth is truth because it's the same. We evolve to the truth. Truth should not change if it's truth. It deals with pride and rebellion, and that led to the fall. We saw that in Genesis. Our Elohim is the voice that we listen to. And it doesn't matter. If you listen to yourself, you are your Elohim. If you're listening to that pastor, if you're listening to a father, someone else being a father figure to you, and they're sharing, but you're not checking to see is that scriptural or truth, they become your Elohim. No student is above his teacher. It is best to be like the teacher, to mimic the teacher. That's the best we can do. I wanted to go back to the definition. Jealous means to want what another has. There's good jealousy. There's evil or bad jealousy. The good is to want to be like with love and admiration of the individual. Can be zealous. Think of it that way, maybe to help you. I'm zealous to be like my God. Because look at all He's done for me. It is the foundation of discipleship. And that can be as simple as discipleship from father to son. Father to daughter. Parent to child. The evil side is to want to be like with love and admiration for self. This deals with the reality, I want what they have for myself. You're the Elohim. And again, I have that wonderful misspelling, but that's okay. Usually leads to rebellion. I wanted to bring back to Exodus 20. I am Yahweh, your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other Elohims before me. You should not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Verses 5 and 6 of Exodus 20. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, Yahweh your Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commands. Now I have them highlighted, hate me and love me. These are lessons we talked about the first time. Yahweh saved us from bondage. So who do we owe for that? Not ourselves, not another Elohim. We are to have no other mighty ones. That's what Elohim means. Someone you depend on, a crutch. Something you go, oh, all right, so how do I fix my problem? Who do I lean on? And you know what? Guess what? A lot of believers lean on the spiritual leader. The spiritual leader is not Yahweh. The spiritual leader may try and give you the words of Yahweh, but they are not the one to lean on or to exalt. Do not become a mighty one and creator making an image. And that's the point there. To make an image means now you're Yahweh and you get to form. As Yahweh formed you, now you're forming a God. It's sort of like a child going, this is what I want my parents to be. This happens a lot. A lot of counseling today, you hear a lot of people going, well, I wish my parents were more like this. I wish my parents were more like that. You know what? That's not going to help you. Your parents were what your parents are. They are the definition of who they are in your life, good or bad. We don't get a choice of forming our parents in the way we want them to be. And even if they spoke things into our life that hurt us, it doesn't matter. They are still that person. We accept them for the good they were, and we forgive them for the bad. Yahweh is jealous. So when he comes after you, you feel like, man, he's really destroying my life. You know what? He loves you that much. Now, I actually brought this up a few weeks ago, but we didn't touch it. We will today. There are two groups spoken of in that passage, haters and lovers. The haters to the third and fourth generation, and he's done. To those who love him, to 1,000 generations, which basically in Scripture is forever. Lessons today. I'm actually revealing the lessons before we even go through the Scripture. Now, I don't do this all the time, and maybe this is just part of me trying to keep you on your toes. But today's point is I'm going to reveal to you the lessons, and then we're going to go back and see if the Scriptures actually say what it says up here. Okay? Instead of doing it vice versa, we went through the Scriptures and we put it all together to understand. So our first lesson, jealousy reveals our Elohim, Lord of our house. Jealousy, when put into our life, will reveal what's in our heart. Think of it in regard to a pool. Is it a little too acidic? Is it too base? What do I have to add to the pool? Do I need to add more chlorine? Jealousy, when it goes into your heart, period, will reveal who is your mighty one. Is it you or is it him? We're going to see that in a moment. Now that plays out, again, what's in your heart. We are jealous of Yahweh and specifically His Word. All of humanity is. And you're like, I'm not jealous of Yahweh and His Word. Trust me, by the time you're done, you're going to see, I hope, how we're jealous of Yahweh and His Word. And it's not always the part of us that actually is aware. Sometimes it's the non-aware part. We're jealous of his authority. How come I can't get my way? How can it, why can't it be my way? Why does it always have to be your way? We feel that Yahweh's word is more important to him than we are. Because when we come to him, the first thing he says is, what did you do? He holds us to that standard. He doesn't go, oh, let's talk about it. He holds us to a standard at all times. That standard becomes most important, his word. All right, so let's actually go back and look at these things. We're going to start with Genesis 4. Remember, my first lesson was jealousy indicates the condition of your heart. Who is your God? Your Elohim. Verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from Yahweh. And she again bore his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, I don't know about you, but this relationship could already create a bunch of jealousy. And you're like, well, how would this create jealousy? All right. So if you're a keeper of the sheep, your job is to watch the sheep, right? You're going to protect them. All right, but predators don't come every day, right? You're going to go out. You're going to lead them to where? Where there's water, right? And you're also going to lead them to where they can eat, right? Well, might those sheep eat some of what Cain created in all his hard work? Could. And Cain's sitting here going, every morning going out and having to till that ground. Oh, this is the ground that's cursed. And he gets the animals. There's already the possibility here of jealousy within each other. Both of them seeing, oh, well, you have it easy. Oh, well, you have it easy. You don't have to deal with this lamb bites me and goes running off. Well, this earth I just planted, I spent 5 days plowing the ground, put a seed in, and they all died. No rain came. Both of them seeing skewed visions of each other's work. But here's our focus of him bringing more jealousy in. Verses 3 through 5. In the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit from the ground as an offering to Yahweh. And Abel, he also brought an offering. It was a firstborn of the flock and of the fat. And Yahweh respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. Now, there's a lot of people that have put out teachings about why Yahweh respected one versus another. Just look at what they did. Cain brought an offering of some of his fruit. Well, let's pick this one, that one, this one, that one. Here's a few things. I'm going to bring it into the and give it, right? A lot of people do offerings that way. Let me just see what I can give. I'll give Yahweh this. What do I got in my wallet, right? Abel brings the firstborn, the best that was given. And not only that, he's giving the fat as an offering. Go back and compare the offering of Abel to what Yahweh requires in Leviticus, and you will find that it's almost exactly what he's asking for. So what you have is one giving his best. Well, to give your best, you mean, you know what? You have to realize that Yahweh deserves that. And the other one goes, well, he deserves something. Here's something. So whose heart is in a better condition? Abel. What does Yahweh do? He respects Abel and his offering. This is what he did. Pat him on the back. Wow, you were so awesome with the offering today. And you know what? Everybody else is going, wasn't I awesome with the offering today? Isn't that our natural reaction? But what Yahweh's doing is he's lifting him up. The one that was humbled, he goes, you know what? I want everybody to be like him. Look at his heart right now. I'm going to lift him up. Look, and I'm respecting his offering, but then I'm not respecting your offering. Why am I not respecting your offering? Why am I not lifting you up? Because what you've done is not what I want everybody to be like. He, at this moment, is what I want everybody to be like. I'm lifting him up for everybody to go, oh, wow, that's what it's supposed to look like. He didn't respect Cain's because he didn't want to highlight it to go, everybody, be like Cain. But it was also meant for Cain to be a lesson. Verses 6 and 7. And Yahweh said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do good, will you not be accepted or respected? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you will rule over him or it. Now, I thought it interesting, depending on the translation, you had, and you will rule over him, or but it will rule over it. You know what? When you let sin in, guess what? Sin rules over you. I brought this up like the idea of smoking. Once you get addicted to tobacco, the tobacco rules over your habit. You do not rule over it. And it takes a long time to get out of being under the authority of that substance. Verses 8 and 9. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, the Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and he killed him. And Yahweh said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? Now, this is interesting. Do you realize that Yahweh loves to come with questions? Where are you? They're in the garden. Where are you? Where is Abel? You know Yahweh already knows. He already knew where Adam and Eve were. But are we going to answer him? We're going to keep hiding. And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? How many times, if you're a sibling, and they go, well, where's your brother? I don't know. Why do I care? Well, by the way, this is important. You are actually responsible for your brothers and sisters, especially in the faith, but also in life. Not just for yourself. Other examples of jealousy where Yahweh lifts someone up. You ready? Joseph, right? Now, this is not actually Balaam, this is the donkey. Okay? Saul versus David. The parable of the prodigal. So you have a younger son and an older son. Now I just want us to look at the prodigal for a moment. Okay? By the way, who is the elder of Cain and Abel? Cain was, right? Cain was the one that was jealous, and he was the older one. I told you we'd come back to the older brother. We didn't get to it the first time. We're going to get back there. The younger son, after, of course, he starts off following his heart. He goes off to do whatever he wants. So who's his Elohim? He is, right? But you know what? He realizes he's jealous of the pigs, right? He's jealous of the pigs. He's jealous of his father's servants. He goes, you know what? It's better back there. His rules and his house is far better than my own. So he's willing to go back. Listen to his words. He says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, make me your servant. That's what he says. Okay? Jealousy changed him. Older brother, older son, stays to obey his father. Wow, that's good, right? Except he's supposed to actually go and take care of his brother. Remember Cain and Abel? Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. Was he meant to go out and take care of his brother? Absolutely. Did he go? No, he stayed home. But he was, what? Angry. Where have I heard that someone got angry before? That was Cain. He was angry and would not go in to be with his brother or his father. His father had to come out to him. Says, I have never transgressed your commandment. That should already be a sign. I have never transgressed anything you said. And I've served you, but you have never given me. Listen to what his heart says. I deserve so much more. Look what this one said. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. You have never given me. Jealousy changes, but also reveals what's in our heart. You would have thought the older brother was righteous. He stayed with his father. Ah, he was doing the deeds, but what did his heart look like on the inside? Now, don't convict him yet, because most of us are here. We're jealous of the people who give in to all of whatever they want. You're like, I'm not. Your flesh is. All of our flesh is. Now, anger and jealousy lead to, let's first talk about Abel. He was killed. Joseph. They wanted to kill him. Balaam. He wanted to kill the donkey. And he was about to be killed by the angel with the sword, right? Moses. How many times did they have stones in their hands and Yahweh had to show up at the tabernacle? It was not one time. I promise you. David. Saul wanted him killed. Threw spears at him, did everything he could to get rid of him. And what does David do? He finds the king asleep with no guard. Does he kill him? No. He slits off one of his tzitzit, corners of his garment, to show him, I was there. I preserved your life, but what are you doing to me? John, Messiah's cousin, he brought them into the mikveh. What did they do to him? They killed him. Messiah, killed. I'm seeing a pattern here. I don't know about you, but I'm seeing a pattern. Jeremiah 7, 23 and 24. But this thing I command them, saying, obey my what? Voice. And then I will be your Elohim, and you shall be my people. Walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they hearken not, or heard not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. 25 and 26. Since that day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all of my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them, yet they did not obey me, nor incline their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Who sent the prophets every single day? Yahweh. He sent his messengers. If he's sending messengers, he's sending their what? He's sending them his word. And every day they're going, I don't want it. Verse 27. Therefore, you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not hear them. You shall also call upon them, but they will not answer you. Is there a nurse witness about how this idea of him killing off everybody he sends with his word? Well, there's actually multiple. Let's go over one. Matthew 23, 28 and 29. Says this. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build tombs to the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous. Verse 30 and 31. And say, if we had been in those days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves, that you are children of them which killed the prophets. Verse 32 and 33. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of the grave? Remember, we're not too far from where Yahweh goes, you know what, I give you a choice. Life and blessings, death and destruction. Therefore, behold, I will send to you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. 35, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on earth, from what? The blood of the righteous Abel, unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, who killed between the temple and the altar. He's speaking of them going, you realize you are a child of all of these others. You know what? You're doing the same. And all of the righteous blood that's been spilled is on your hands. Starting from Abel. He's basically saying you're all children of Cain. Verse 37 to 39. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets, stone those sent to you. How often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you will not see me again till you see, say, blessed is he that comes in the name of Yahweh. We're going to get to that later. Now, when he talks about Jerusalem, he's speaking of the religious institution. Not every person that lived there, not everybody of faith, he's speaking of the religious institution that is Jerusalem. Why do we kill Yahweh's messengers? Why do that? Yeshua actually speaks about it a few times. John 3, 19 to 20. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Now, he's speaking in regard to Genesis. This is, again, I know I continue to remind. Remember, he's basically telling you, go back to Genesis. What is the light? It is every word that proceeds from his mouth. He has given the light of his word, and we continue to, I don't want it. I like my darkness. Verse 21. But he that does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, and that they have been done in Elohim. John 15, 18 and 19. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. The world hated his word before, and it will hate it now, and will hate it later. Remember, we talked about Genesis 20. I will, up to those who hate me, up to the third and fourth generation, but to those who love me. Guess what? There are only two groups. There's not the ones that love, those that are unsure, and those who hate. No, no. There's those who love, and there are those who hate. And in the end, that goes back to the battle between our spirit and the flesh. Who won? If your spirit won in that struggle, you love him. If your flesh is winning, you hate it. If you were of the world would love its his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. 15, 20, 21. Remember the word that I said to you. The servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things they do unto you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. They don't really know Yahweh. If I had not come and spoke to them, they had not had sin. But now that they have no cloak for their sin, he that hates me hates my Father also. And I thought it was interesting, a cloak, meaning they have no covering. Now that they've actually seen the truth, they have no reason. It's all gone. Let's go back to our lessons real quick. Jealousy reveals our Elohim, what's in our heart. We've seen that over and over. We are jealous of Yahweh and specifically of his word. We feel that Yahweh's word is more important to him than we are. So, guys, you ready? Because I'm going to go through some pillar points right now. Meaning these are major foundational points. And one added to the next, added to the next. And you know what? You might see yourself in this. If you don't see yourself in this, you're not being honest with yourself, because I see a perfect picture of me in here. Oh, I never get jealous. I'm never upset with Yahweh for when he gives his word and wants me to change something I don't want to change. All right, here we go. Yahweh exalts those who humble themselves and obey. Now that means he's going to encourage, he's going to show the word made flesh how to. Do you realize when he said he respected Abel, he was saying, this is what the word looks like. This is the word made flesh. This is the perfect picture for me to put in the dictionary of obedience and giving me an offering. That's what happens. And it's the point of us being humble. Godly jealousy should lead us to learn from our brother or our sister, to copy the image shown to us in his word. Peter makes a point of saying that the word is like a mirror. Remember, we were made in God's what? Image. He says the word is like a mirror and it's perfect. And those who talk about his word but don't do it are those who go to the mirror and see themselves and then go off and forget what they look like. Completely forget. We love the spotlight when it's positive and hate it when it's negative. How often do we feel good when someone calls our name and says, wow, I remember when you did this, that, this, that really, really touched me or moved me. We like someone just got up and put an air compressor and we almost feel like we were just like completely like floating off the ground, right? And we, of course, do the exact same thing when someone comes and tells us you're doing something wrong. Highlights one of our flaws. Oh, yeah! Let's focus on that all day. The word is always there pointing out our deficiencies when it comes. And you know what? It doesn't go away. You can get up in the morning and go to work. The word that he spoke to you to point out the deficiency will be sitting there right next to you at work. It will be driving in the car with you. You will sit down at a table to have dinner and it will be right next to you. That word will follow you from that point forth. Because what it's doing is a spirit is coming and convicting you in little ways, going, so you ready to give in? 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 And of course, at that point, we're just all happy. We don't get angry or frustrated, right? The word does not go away, and the Ruach keeps reminding us. Negative spotlight leads to defense and blame game, and the goal is to deflect the spotlight. I don't care anyone that comes up to you and says and points out a deficiency. The first natural inclination is, well, I only did that because. And you know what? We have a history going back. Yahweh going to Adam, why'd you eat the tree? The woman you gave me. Now notice you're not actually even blaming the woman because you're all going back to Yahweh gave him the woman. She gave me of the fruit and I ate it. But the point of blame is to deflect the spotlight that we're not looking at ourselves that we're the problem. But you know what? That's not going away. You can deflect it all you want. We protect ourselves, we belittle, kill the reputation of the messenger and the word spoken. We will look up verses, spend hours with the whole goal of destroying the argument. Not with the goal of studying to see what the word says. No, no, no. We will study to find our opinion in the scripture to back up our opinion. We will kill the reputation of the messenger and the word spoken. The sign of that is we will convince ourselves of point of view. How many of you have sat there going for a walk and you're mad at someone, but you know partly inside of yourself it was something you did, and you're convincing yourself by going through the same phrase, but he said, but he said, but he said. Have you ever stopped to think going, why am I convincing myself if I really believe it? If I really believe it, why do I have to keep repeating it? We hate that the commandment, the standard, the rule is the priority and not us as we are. You can deny it all you want. I promise you, if you deny it, I promise it's a matter of time before he points out one of those. May not be today, but it's coming. He'll show you. He's really good at that. It's supposed to be a we. We bury or kill the commandment in our minds and the minds around us by convincing others of our opinion. We kill that truth. We kill the person's reputation, and we make sure everybody knows why. Bury it deep. We make our ways, our words, and our authority the most important. And at that moment, we become Elohim. Not him anymore. Us. So what does Yahweh do? Because you know what? This is going to be the big cry at the end. Like, Your word is more a priority. I'm tired of it. How come your rule's most important? Don't I deserve more? Yahweh goes, you know what? I'm going to help you some more. I'm going to wrap my word in flesh in a way that has never been. It's going to be perfect, and I'm going to have it walk in front of you. But you know what? That means, because it's going to walk perfectly, when we measure our steps to His steps, you're going to see every deficient step you make. Yahweh's word's going to walk among us. It's going to be close. We're going to see it. Yahweh's going to let us kill and bury His word. He's going to allow us to do it. We've done it before. Why not do it in the human sense? To really drive home the point of what we do to His word. It really means a lot to us. Why? Why would Yahweh do that? Why would He allow all those prophets to die? Why would He allow Messiah to die? Why would He let them go through all that when these are supposedly righteous men or women? Deuteronomy 32, 46 and 47. And He said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe, to do all the words of this law, this teaching, for it is not a futile thing for you, because it is your life. He lets His word die. His word bleed for us at our hands to show us that the word was not given to convict us. The word was given to show us the path to Him. The word was given to protect us. The word is there actually for us. Think of Messiah's words. You are not made for the Shabbat. Shabbat was made for you. This word is your life. And so if Yahweh wants you to live and actually be blessed, He is going to hold that standard with you because why? He loves you. Not because He loves His word more. That word is our life. I want to end by going back to Matthew 23, 37 to 39. This is important. Ricky brought this up. We'll get to it in a minute with the blessings. Yahweh says that when we fall away, He's going to turn away from us. And the point here is to actually give us a lesson in regard to what we've done. I'm not listening to you, Yahweh. I'm not listening still. He goes, you know what? You didn't listen to me? I'm going to turn away. Cry out, I'm still not going to listen. And you're going to keep being there, and if you get worse and worse, I'm going to stay away. And I want you to see what it's like when I turn away from you and how I might have felt when you turned away from me. But, for I say to you, you will not see me, the word of God, or Yahweh, again, till you say what? Blessed is he that comes in the name of Yahweh. Who did we kill? Everyone that came in the authority of Yahweh. When is the change going to be? When we cry out, blessed is His word. Just like the first prodigal son, it is so much better in your house than mine. Blessed is whoever comes with a word, whether the word comes to rebuke me or encourage me. Blessed is he who comes with the word, because the word will save me. This is the end result. All this zealousness, all this jealousy comes down to one simple, well, multiple layers, but one simple truth. Yahweh loves you, and everything he has in place is for you. And yes, are there times we're going to be jealous of other individuals? You know what? We still all have flesh. There are still lessons for us to learn. There are still ways to be changed. And Yahweh doesn't discipline those he does not love. He does not rebuke those he does not love. He rebukes those he loves. As a good parent does. I pray that we, and I include me in that we, at this season, all are ready to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. Blessed is he who brings me his word. Because I want it. Even if it's a rebuke. Baruch Hashem. Well, I know that I'm rabbi, like last 2 or 3 weeks in a row has said, you know, these words are not my words. But I think it's good to know today that these words were given by Yahweh. And when we come to the end of the blessing, and it says, when Yahweh's face turns toward us, when he sees that we've changed, that our heart has been humbled and open and is ready for him to come, that he would look and see us and he would give us peace, not come to judge, but peace between us and him. And that's what's most important. Is peace between us and him. Yevarech Yahweh v'yishmerecha. Ke Yahweh tibendega et v'techa. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yar Yahweh panavedecha v'hunecha. Ke Yahweh agas u'roshto spendeser sobriti or torge subundad. May Yahweh, may his face shine upon us and be gracious to us. Yisi Yahweh, panavelecha, v'yasem lecha shalom. Ki Yahweh, muestre su rosho sobriti ite, concede su paz. When Yahweh's face turns towards us, may he give us his perfect peace.